Quinnell, reel 17.
Hold in the line. They were holding the line very, very thinly, but anyway, we moved into the line and we told them to clear off, and we held the line, and we spent the whole night, that night, going out in a no-man's land, bringing back wounded. Next morning, we were moved along to the left, about a mile, and there we held the line for 3 and 4 days. We were moved out on the night of the 5th, back to Albert. Now, Albert, that was a ruined town, although it wasn't flattened by this time. And in the church, on the church tower, there was a leaning effigy of the Virgin Mary. And that lay on the top of that tower, and the legend was that when that fell down, the war was going to end. But that was only a legend. And we moved back into Albert. On the night of the 6th, we were moved up to the front line, and there we received our orders. We were going to have a go for the village of Auvilliers, and we were the third lot to have a go at it. This was on the morning of the 7th of July. Our objective was the 250 yards away. We had to go, every man had a sandbag with 20 Mills bombs in it, and each Mills bomb weighs 2 pounds, so that was 40 pounds of weight. We had 2 extra bandoliers of 50 rounds, in addition to 150 rounds in our pouches. And every alternate man had a shovel or a pick. The bombardment started at 8 o'clock. The bombardment started at 4:15, and at 8:15 we were to go over. That was a 4 hours bombardment. As soon as the bombardment started, the Germans' retaliation came, and for 4 hours we had to sit there and take 4 hours of everything he slung at us. We lost 25% of our men before we went over. I was in the second wave. My platoon officer was in the first wave. He took 2 sections over, and I followed with the... I was a sergeant, full sergeant by now. I followed with the other 2 sections. The first wave went over, and as soon as they gone, I gave the order, advance, up the ladders, over the top. The first wave, when I got through our wire, were down, the 2 machine guns played on them, and they were all absolutely wiped out. Everybody was either killed or wounded. We went through, we got to a halfway across, and then the 2 machine guns found us, and they traversed. They played on us like spraying with a hose. At the finish, I was the only man standing. Well, I'm not one of those heroes who want to take the German army on my own, so I went to earth. I got down behind the lip of a big shell hole. And then I look in to see where these machine guns were. I couldn't see them, but there was a German in the trench about 100 yards away, and he was standing up on his parapet and flinging bombs. So I shot him. The machine gun crew spotted me, and they opened up on me. I ducked my head down, and I'm behind the lip of this shell hole, and the dirt was spraying down the back of my neck. You bastard! uh, Then he thought he'd got me, and he played his machine gun somewhere else. I put my head up again to see if I could. He spotted my head. Back came the machine gun. Down I had to go, and I stopped down there for about a quarter of an hour. By this time, the machine guns had stopped, and I took one convulsive leap over into the shell, and there were seven wounded men there. Well, we bound them up, bound one another up, and we stopped all day. And at night time, when it was dusk, I brought them back to our own line. Now, although we'd paid the penalty, we'd taken the machine gun fire, those two machine guns, but the companies on our right had got through and they took off theirs. Our company went into the line 193 strong on the night of the 6th. And on the night of the 7th, there was 18 of us. Fit men, that was all. But there we are, the mission was accomplished. We'd taken the machine gun fire off the companies on our right and they'd got through, so that was the reward for us.
What was your next experience during the Somme action?
We came out of the line from that affair, and we were billeted in a very pleasant place in a wood, and there we were made up by a draft just out from England. Now, these lads were a very quiet lot. Now, our old boys, they were very boisterous. There was always a joke and a quip. But these lads were very, very quiet. And we began to wonder what sort of show they were going to put up. But I'm glad to say, and I'm grateful to say, that they turned out to be damn good soldiers. But they were as green as grass. They hardly knew one end of the rifle from the other. They'd only been in the army about 3 months.
Did their greenness show in any particular way?
Yes. They were slommocky on parade. A trained soldier, he might be a rough diamond, but when he's on parade, he's got that bit of swagger attached to it. And everything he does, there was a snap and bang and a crispness to it. It was something you learned. Mm. But these boys, they used to climb up their rifles, and when they sloped arms, oh my God. They didn't know anything about a Mills bomb. We had to teach them how to clean a bomb, because when the Mills bombs came over from England, they were all smothered up in grease, you see, and you've got to clean them up and get the working parts right. And then they're not fused either. So you had to teach them how to fuse a bomb and all that kind of thing, and then how to, the correct way to throw a bomb. Well, we were made up to a strength of 80. So by this time there was a Captain Caslett, and a very gallant officer he was. He was a regular man, and he was a splendid man in addition to being a very, very efficient man, splendid man in himself. And he had a way with him. He would never bark an order at you. He would give an order in a conversational way. I would like you to do so and so and so and so. And by God, you did it too. You gave everything you had. Now, we were made up with this new draft, and that brought our strength up to 80. Well, by this time I'm a platoon sergeant, and Tubby Turnbull, he's an old friend of mine, he was a very stout chap, his name was Tubby. He had the other platoon, so we just turned the company into two platoons. Tubby had one platoon, I had the other, and we did our best to lick them into shape. Well, now, on the night of the 4th of August, we moved up to what I know now as the Pozieres Ridge, Now just imagine a huge saucer, and the lip of the saucer was the ridge. The village of Pozieres was over the top of the ridge, and it was known as the Pozieres Ridge. Now, whoever held that ridge, and in this case it was the Germans, overlooked a huge part of the whole Somme battlefield. So it was very, very important that this should be taken. On the night of the 4th of August 1916, we were moved up into a newly dug trench, been dug the night before, just a slip trench about 4 feet deep, about 2 feet wide, no fire step to it. It was just an assembled trench. Our objective was uphill. It was known to be somewhere between 200 and 300 yards, but no definite measurement. We moved into this assembled trench, and when we'd been there, we lost a few men going up the communication trench, but not many. When we got into this assembled trench, we settled down there, sat down on the bottom, and order came, platoon sergeants to company headquarters. Well, company headquarters was just in the same trench. You went along to, there was Captain Caslett there. And this is the sort of order we got. It is now 8:15. At 9 o'clock, we go over the top. We're going behind curtain fire. Curtain fire was shrapnel, burst, 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 and you're advancing this way. And as you advance, so the guns go farther and farther away, you see. You advance behind that curtain fire. We would, at 9 o'clock, we advance behind curtain fire. We don't know exactly how far this trench is, but it's between 200 and 300 yards. Sergeant Turnbull, you would take the first wave. I will go over with the first. This is Captain Caslett speaking. I will go over with the first wave, and Mr. Firefoot, the second in command, will go over with you, Sergeant Quinnell, with your platoon. You'll be in the second wave. Now go along and tell your men to be ready, and as soon as the curtain fire starts, we move. Right? Back along the trench, he went, told our men what to do. Well, now my men in the second wave, the tip I gave them was run like hell and catch up with the first wave. That wasn't an order, it was just a tip. Because my experience told me that when you're out in no man's land, you're standing there naked. But if you catch up with the first, the sooner you get over and get your job done, the fewer casualties you'll have. And by doing that, giving that order, my men got over, we caught up with the first wave behind this curtain fire. And we caught up with the first wave. We went into the Germans with the first wave. We ran like hell too. When we got to the German trench, there was this German kneeling on the floor of the trench, and poor bugger was dead scared. So while I'm standing wondering whether to stick him or shoot him, the German jumped out of the trench away to my left, another one on the right, so I jumped down onto this German, pinned him down, knelt on his shoulders, shot the German on the left, worked my bolt, put another one up the spout and shot the German who was running away on the right. By this time, all our men had reached the trench, and I went along to report to the captain that we'd arrived. He said, good, now let's have a quick roll call. So I counted my men, and I'd only lost three coming over, which was a marvellous performance it was this surprise attack, you see. And the Germans didn't have time to drop their barrage down. But once we were over there, in the German trench, the barrage came down behind us. So my tip of getting my men over there to catch up with the first wave paid off. Otherwise, they would have caught the barrage. The battalion on our left had not got through. The companies on our right of our own battalion had not got through, and we were the only battalion to get our objective. So we had a quick consultation, the two platoon sergeants, Captain Caslett and Mr. Fivefoot, his second in command. So it was agreed that we'd put and make a barricade on our right flank, a barricade on our left flank, and hold it